On this episode, we explore the transformative work of TransUnion, an information and insights company that enables trust and confidence in global commerce. Join us as we delve into TransUnion's collaboration with our North America Digital Innovation team, uncovering how they're harnessing AWS to drive innovation while maintaining the highest standards of data security and customer trust. Well, I'm excited to welcome Ryan Engel, Vice President for Identity Products and Platforms from TransUnion. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And also joining us from TransUnion, we have Sam Shapiro-Klein, Director for Product Marketing. Thanks for being with us today, Sam.
Glad to join us all, Sarah.
From AWS and our innovation and transformation team, we have Ben McKeel, our Principal Advisor for Innovation and Transformation. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. Great to see you as always. Good afternoon. Happy to see you all.
Absolutely. Well, Sam, for our international listeners, can you share a little bit about the mission of TransUnion?
Yeah, absolutely. So both in the United States and internationally, TransUnion is known as a credit reporting agency, a credit bureau where you can get your own credit check, find out your score and your qualification for, you know, home loans or credit cards. But over time, TransUnion has expanded and acquired into new businesses and really become a global information and insights company. So we call ourselves now, because we are focused on making data available to a wide variety of businesses across areas like marketing, fraud, and communications, and making that data actionable. So as a business, we've been focused on really two things and two competencies, which is taking data and making that as effective, robust, and accurate as possible, and then making that data actionable, so usable through a variety of data products and then tools that support those products. And the other aspect that we're really focused on as a credit bureau and a credit reporting agency is the privacy and compliance of that data. And I think we'll get into that a little bit with why we're working with AWS so much. But that has been a really important part of the evolution of the marketing landscape and the emphasis on respecting consumer privacy and managing data effectively.
Absolutely. Something we hear from so many of our regulated industries. And Ryan, when you look at that data as a service and the and this transition that you're going through as an organization and still focusing on security and privacy, et cetera, can you tell us a little bit about the technology landscape you have right now and how you're trying to transition that?
Yeah, sure. I think for us, when you talk about transition, the first thing that comes to mind is like a cloud transformation. And, you know, moving from old on-prem systems into the cloud or navigating from one cloud to the other. And yes, that's a part of things for TU, and but mostly a part of the past. Like, there are still some things which are transitioning. I think the part that I'm most excited about, really why we're here, is to talk about the importance of like new cloud capabilities and the benefits that that affords us for the products that we bring to customers. And so as Sam was saying, you know, having a stronger stance toward privacy, data governance, and so on, that some of the capabilities that are offered now in the cloud, and especially with AWS, to be able to bring our data to customers where their data resides, to be able to provide services and enrichment to them that are valuable to their business without TransUnion ever seeing their data, and using some of the privacy-enhancing capabilities within AWS to enable that.
Right, exactly. And so that transformation and evolution of the systems that you already have in place and then building additional capabilities on top of that, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, we're really leaning in hard with AWS. Like, every time that AWS has introduced a new feature or functionality, like back in the early days of the data exchange, for example, like the first time that y'all enabled APIs, you know, we were among the first three partners to integrate our API with the Amazon Data Exchange. And every time as you introduce new features, like when you introduced entity resolution in the AWS console, then we wanted to be there to integrate with that service and to do that in a way that it respects consumer privacy and adheres to stricter data governance protocols from our clients. So that's a benefit that we can bring to them in partnership with AWS.
And you've talked a lot about the work that you've done over the years with AWS. Can you tell us how you came to work with Ben and the team?
Yeah, I think it was really kind of an evolution of the relationship that we had. So we had built an integration with AWS Cleanroom. We built an integration with AWS Entity Resolution and had a good relationship with the product team on the AWS side, and also really close relationships with the engineering team as well, because as we're integrating our product into the AWS platform, changes are made to the AWS platform to accommodate our product. So I think we had a good, solid working relationship with AWS. And then we're introduced to Ben's function, which I didn't actually know about, you know, when we first started. It was, oh, hey, y'all are doing some really innovative stuff. Would you like to try and accelerate some of the innovation work that you're doing? And if so, like we have an app for that. You know, our app is like that. Would you like to work with Ben to see how we might partner and accelerate some of the work you're doing?
So Ben, tell us a little bit about what that engagement is like in working with a company that's already innovating on behalf of their customers and thinking long term. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm glad to do that. And before I began to facilitate these engagements, I was actually a former customer of the process myself, so I can tell you the things that kind of stand out about it. So, you know, a company like TransUnion, like they don't need us to come in and tell them, how to satisfy their customers. Like they know their customers, they understand the problem space, and we don't need them to, you know, they don't need us to sort of rinse and repeat like some other solution that happened someplace else, right? But what we can do is bring in our fairly unique approach to innovation at Amazon and bring the right people in the room and just kind of let the ideas go through that process. So to make that a little bit more real, we know that, you know, when we work backwards from customers, we always start with customer needs in mind. So before, and not to segue too much, but what usually kills innovation at companies, especially larger successful companies, is you start with questions that are important, but if you ask them too early, sort of kill your innovation. So, you know, I've worked in many places where you've had, or with customers, or somebody has a great idea, and then the very next question somebody asks is like, what's the ROI? What's the technology? What's the roadmap? What are we going to build and what are we going to measure? And that just kills your idea, right? So really, it's just about creating that space, that kind of safe space where people who already know their customers, that come from a cross-functional background, like we had in the room, you know, we would call that two pizza team. So I think we had about 10 people, cross-section of, you know, sales, service, product marketing, analytics, and product leads and technology, to really iterate and work backwards from the customer, starting with the five customer questions, right? Which is, who is the customer and what do we know about them? And every company has multiple customers, so trying to parse that out is actually really important. You know, what are their biggest pain points? What's the biggest opportunity we can go tackle? What is a solution? What might the solution look like? How do we know? What kind of delight can we provide? What does the experience look like? What could the experience look like? And then what is the first thing we could build that we could then measure to sort of get to this hypothesis quickly? And again, it was a real benefit to have that, you know, real customer knowledge in the room, a really good understanding of pain points. You know, we initially focused on kind of the pain points of marketing leaders, but we thought all the way up and down the chain to focus on consumers as well. And then where do we fit and how do we accelerate this process? We actually came up with some wild ideas in that session, and we didn't go build all of them, but again, that's really where we started, was from the customer. Mm. We land those ideas in written documents, which for us is a PRFAQ or a press release and a frequently asked questions document. And then we iterate and we talk about it and we make sure that we're really aligned before we go write a whole bunch of code and build a whole bunch of expensive things. So it's kind of our kind of frugal and quick way to innovate, but the common thing is it keeps the customer at the center of it.
Mm, absolutely. And Sam, how was that experience in terms of centering the customer and the needs and even identifying the customers as Ben mentioned, there's lots of different customers you have, right? What was that experience like for you, and how did that differ from what you've been doing previously?
It's, you know, it changes the dynamic of figuring out and really pinpointing the customer when you're working with a partner and not, you know, your internal team that you're working with every day. So it's an exciting opportunity to get a little bit challenged and get a little bit more specific. So, I mean, TransUnion True Audience Solutions, we're working with a set of customers that often have first-party data, are doing diverse forms of marketing across channels. So we're thinking about that kind of customer all the time. But with the engagement with Ben and the innovation process, we had to think about, in terms of certain specifics and their interaction with AWS too. So thinking of an airline right now where they're trying to build a really scalable marketing platform, but they also want to use it to work with their partners as well. And so both thinking about the ways in which they're similar to a lot of other customers, you know, like a retailer that has robust first-party data and needs to make it more actionable, but then also the ways that they're different, where there's multiple parts of the business that are trying to work together and then use a common resource in order to build something really effective and scalable. So that was a part that really enhanced our understanding, especially of certain teams within the customer, by working through the process with Ben.
Nice. And Ryan, from that perspective of not eliminating the thinking, what we call think big, but then narrowing it down to something that you want to invest and start testing and implementing, what was that like for the team? And can you share a little bit about some of the work that you did as we move forward in the process?
Yes. Yeah, I think the first thing that comes up for me in response to your question is actually back to something that Ben said, which is like the worst thing that happens is someone comes up with a good idea and then you kill it with all the questions. And it makes me think like something we've done really well, I think, and I'm proud of, is like building things quickly and testing hypotheses with customers. Mm. Like, I don't know how big of an idea this is. Let me build it real quick and like build a quick version of it, show it to customers. And if they really like it, then we'll add features and actually make it scalable and all that stuff. Because yeah, I think otherwise you're moving totally in the, like the waterfall sense of the world. It's like, yeah, how big is your big idea? Okay. And everyone, when they're going for like technology prioritization, there's always this inflation of the business case. Oh, mine's worth 500 million. Well, mine's worth 2 billion. You know, like I'm going to get the engineering resources for me. And if you try and go there, especially if you're trying to do something new, it's like, well, there's no benchmark, you know, that says that this is what it should cost. And so anyway, I wanted to, you know, come back to that point, Ben, because I feel it's really important. Like the first justification for like some of the cloud native stuff we did on our side, like we'd been wanting to do it, but we had like one specific thing where like a data provider was taking their data away because they weren't willing to share PII with us anymore. It was like, oh, we could totally build an app that like we could process their data without us ever seeing their PII. Let's do that real quick. And we got the permission to do it. And then that was the first step, you know, in this whole process. So I think thinking small, we've always done a good job, I think, of like thinking where the next innovative thing is, like what the next step is in the process. And what was good about the workshop with Ben then was like, okay, we can see all the different paths that could take maybe, but like, where do we want the end to be? And it's almost like then finding our way from where we are today and all these things that we're iterating on and how they build up in a sensible way to like where this end really innovative thing is. And I thought that was helpful to bring that end back to the beginning where we were already really excelling, I would say.
Mm. Yeah. I can build on that. I mean, my experience as well is that everybody was really kind of open. It was like really good improv, you know, everybody was like, yes, and sort of building on each other's ideas. Like we didn't spend a lot of time sort of admiring like, well, you know, why couldn't, you know, coming up with reasons why something couldn't work. You know, we were obviously aware of potential limitations, but like you said earlier, like a lot of, you know, technology enables you to do a lot of things. And if it's the right thing for the customer and you approach it in kind of a, I would say, an egoless way, which you all were very, very good at. And you're open to trying to solve it in the best possible way for the customer. I think you get some really good results. And so that's why it really felt to me like, you know, it's like a, when innovation is fun, when it works really well, it feels like a team sport. And that's something that I really came through loud and clear. Maybe to throw a question back at you, Ryan, like how have you thought about that at TransUnion to make sure that you all are really looking at it as one team and not, you know, product over here and engineering over there and UX over there and product marketing somewhere else and then legal and whatever?
Yeah, it can be really easy to go there when you're in a big company, like certainly. And especially in a highly regulated company like TU, like a lot of times I am a compliance person and that is my job, or I am, you know, this. And so I think that's one thing that we really have been driving in our cloud native efforts is a small cross-functional team and having, you know, we meet twice a week for, I don't know, an hour and a half, you know, and the whole team is aware of what's happening. We're able to surface problems and address them together. And this is product engineering, delivery, solution consulting, sales. Our project manager, you know, is a client-facing person because she's involved in all these client meetings to take the feedback directly. Like we really try to get everyone involved. So it's not just like we're not transacting. I think so many companies are about transacting, whereas it's really about collaborating and how do we help each other problem solve? Because if you get a delivery person thinking about how to solve a product problem, you get different answers than, you know, a product person trying to solve the same problem. It's not we do each other's jobs, but it's more that we contribute to the thinking in the way that you were saying, like, yes, and like, okay, that's cool. Maybe that's not the right answer, but that gets me thinking about maybe this is the right answer. So we're able to work faster that way. And it's more fun besides, which I think is a thing for folks, at least for me.
I think it's also part of how like the sort of two pizza box meeting innovation session really works effectively is if everybody in that session has touched and interacted with a customer in recent memory and took something slightly different away or interacted with different customers, you're going to get that kind of diversity of opinion. You're going to get people challenging each other in a collaborative, productive way. And you're actually going to get down to what are the problems we really want to focus on and then not get quite as bogged up with like, hey, are we going to get ROI on this? Because you're worried that somebody else has their pet project and you have no perception of it.
Right. Yeah. I love that diverse perspectives and something Brian, you were sharing and then alluded to this as well, is we often in these kinds of engagements find that the technology is the easy part, right? And it's the cultural change and transformation from the people side, process side, that takes time to get right and to also iterate over, right? It's similar to technology in that it's not just a one and done, you're constantly evolving that, right? Was there something that you can share from, you talked about business outcomes, something that you achieved or a particular outcome that you had thought about in that Think Big session that you were able to then to bring to life?
Yeah, I think the end state that we came to was innovative and differentiated in a way that is probably better not to talk about, and it requires effort on both TU side and AWS side to build new features and functionality to do the types of things that we want to do. And so if that is that whole thing we were talking about, like, okay, if that's what the end looks like and we're here, then like, what are some of the things that we can do? And so on that journey, like, I think it's been really good to justify investment and prioritization on our side and build some of the things faster. We have a really innovative solution, which is directly integrated into the AWS console with the entity resolution service. We have one version of that, which has been on AWS for a year and a half, I want to say. And we're just about to introduce the second version of that, which introduces all new features, identity resolution of offline and online data together. It introduces this really innovative collaboration ID to facilitate collaborations between two companies in the AWS clean room, for example, or similar. Or even without a clean room, there are like certain things that customers can do in a privacy conscious way to really facilitate easier collaboration. reduce some of the friction and some of the commerce we're seeing. Like, it's so hard to find companies who are willing to collaborate together because of data privacy rules, all these restrictions. And so making things easier and simpler for marketers is really important for us. So I think we're, what I'm excited about is we've already done a lot on the innovation path, and we've gotten a lot of customers to validate that. The airline that Sam was talking about, other travel and hospitality companies, major retailer, major platforms, and so on, like that are using the capability today and are informing the roadmap and where we're going. So it's really validating that the path we're on is the right one.
It's great to get that customer feedback early and often, and to be able to inform the next generations as you build for your customers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In this podcast, we often talk about, because it's an innovation podcast, that experimentation and innovation and failure often go hand in hand, right? And there's always a challenge that you have to overcome when you're trying to do something new or bigger or inventive, right? Was there anything here that we had to work through, or something that didn't go as expected that you can speak to as a way of overcoming that challenge?
Yeah, I'll choose two examples, if that's okay. The first one is, as I mentioned, we're building innovative stuff in the entity resolution platform. And we came in with an ethos of like, we want to eliminate data transfer, period. And it's like, well, hold on, that's not exactly possible just yet. So it's okay, we want to go to the fullest extent possible. Like, how far can we go, you know, in this reduced data transfer, heightened security sort of headspace? And so we literally had weekly calls, you know, between our product and engineering team and the product and engineering team at AWS to talk about, okay, could you do this? Well, we could do that, but it would take us like 3 months to do, and it would be really expensive. So what if we could do this instead? Okay. Mm-hmm. And there was this back and forth, and we found a place that was like really outstanding. Like, the data transfer is almost zero, but it's a scenario where TransUnion never sees a customer's data, but we're able to provide all the benefits of our service and our data back to them. We only see how many records they pass to us and things, but we don't see any of the contents of that. And it's designed in a really clever way that I could bore the listeners with details. We're also integrated with AWS's KMS service. And so like the data stays encrypted even while it's being processed, you know, it's really an elegant design. And it was created, by our team saying like, hey, this is what we really want. And AWS meeting us there as much as they could and coming with solutions and building new stuff just for our product to support it. And so there were like failures along the way, like we're experimenting together and then we have to problem solve that together. So I think that made that especially fun. I did want to give one other example because it's relevant from like the customer perspective, which as we're introducing these products where we're no longer seeing customer data, if the app doesn't work, then sometimes we don't know why, right? So we've since put a bunch of checks in to make this more robust, and we've eliminated all these things. But like when we were first starting, it's like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that. What if a client queried us with data from Russia in Cyrillic? Like, what would then happen to the app? It's like we'd never been confronted with that, because customers would send us data in the past and we'd be like, hey, error, you sent us bad data. Like, again. Whereas now it's like, we don't see the data. So they just queried us with, you know, Cyrillic addresses. And turns out our app hangs when you query it with Cyrillic because it doesn't have a way to standardize the address. And it's just like, duh. So you know, the client said, hey, your app is broken. It's not working. And that's true. It was, but it was because the input was wrong. Right. So that was a fail fast too. It was like, oh, okay, we didn't know that, because usually we're used to seeing the data. This is a new space for us. Yeah. We're not seeing your data now. So let's figure out a new solution for that. So we did. Mm-hmm. But like, it's that type of thing, I think, that makes this so interesting.
How to bring that validation in and also give some level of transparency to your users about what might be going awry.
Right. Now we flag it like, hey, well, first we blank out any characters we don't recognize just so the app doesn't hang, but we also throw an error that like this data doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you should look at it because you're not going to get the results that you want, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I actually love that. I love both of those examples, by the way, but the first one really connects with me because it's very, first of all, we love it when customers do that, right? Maybe 80% of the things we build are things because customers ask us directly, and maybe the other 20% we're trying to innovate on their behalf because we want to understand their needs so well. And so we love it when customers like you come to us and be like, you know, really push us to think even bigger and to make things more valuable. And it's cool that your customers come to you and do the same thing. So it's a nice sort of like infinity loop there of making the actual output better. And then. I know I'm a fellow marketing. I would classify myself as a marketing nerd. I love this topic and go very deep and I'm very interested in it. But just to keep it in to click up a little bit to like if I were talking to my mother about this, you know, why is a problem important to solve? You know, it is a huge amount of misallocated resources, like dollars that could be spent much, much better. In effective marketing to drive delightful customer experiences. And much of that is not only wasted, but actually negative in the way that it's implemented because the identity resolution data isn't good for companies that don't use services like yours, right? So this is actually like a meaningful, like societal problem that you all are solving. And I just love the way that you're going about it because you need to combine those two things. Like you need to combine the think big with the actual technical acumen and sort of obsession with the details to get it to work right. And so I just think that the stuff you guys are doing is awesome. And I'm a big fan of the space because of that. But it's exactly the sort of stubborn on the vision and like flexible on the details approach that I think we share, which was another reason that we, you know, were able to work together very well.
I mean, to your point, the outcome that happens both for the consumer and for the marketer or the publisher, it's bad and it looks silly when you don't have identity right. It's like nobody wants to receive the same magazine twice. It's just jamming your mailbox. And if you're receiving a bunch of digital ads that are totally irrelevant to you, it's just going to be frustrating and making your Hulu experience worse. And so everybody's trying to solve this problem to have good experiences that are relevant to consumers at the appropriate amount of time, right? So not like five times in the same 30-minute block. Making sure that all those things happen is a tough challenge. But the kind of customers that are building on AWS and trying to incorporate identity through AWS are the ones that are really innovating and leading in solving for that.
Sam, can you share with us a little bit about the outcomes for your customers? What did you see once you implemented these capabilities? What did you see the value to your customers were?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about the example of an airline and how they're able to access identity more easily. So you know, in that situation, if you think about an airline in the US, right, they have really important loyalty data. So the way that they're interacting with their customers, where their customers are flying, also some preferences or some rewards as well. And so being able to engage them more effectively is huge. What we were able to do is, you know, and given this is really sensitive data, we were able to work with this airline through the entity resolution process to enrich their loyalty data with demographics and insights into the preferences of those consumers. And so what they are able to do then is have essentially a really great data set for their data scientists to work with and build models and build audiences to provide more relevant offers to those consumers. And ultimately, if you're thinking about, you know, I get lots of offers in my email inbox every day and push notifications through the app that I have.
Mm-hmm.
If that's just a little bit more effective and a little bit more relevant to me, and it has a little bit higher percentage, a couple percentage points more of people accepting that offer, that can have a really big business outcome. That can be actually billions mm-hmm. of dollars of additional revenue when you're operating at that scale. So they're able to really improve their relevance of their offers through demographic enrichment in this case, while still protecting and governing their data.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I think what I love about our solution is that it's really flexible. And so it applies across verticals and industries. It applies, you know, it's not just demographic enrichment that Sam was talking about, but also identity resolution, for example. So let's give one other example on clients who've used our service. So we had one retailer who came to us with 400 million customer records, and we all know there aren't 400 million adults in the US. And so we worked with them to deduplicate their records down to more like 100 million, like a significant deduplication of their records, which it's kind of like, okay, we're cleaning house. Like, how exciting is that? You know, like, okay, we're sweeping the dust off the floor type of thing. But actually having that material change in the understanding of your consumers is really important, because it means that you're not serving five versions of Ryan the same advertisement. You're serving Ryan the advertisement once. Likewise, they're really into their retail media network, and for them to monetize their network is really important to say, hey, I can really clearly say who are the strongest customers, what is the profile of those customers, so that I can monetize that more effectively with my media network. So real financial, tangible benefits, even though it's something that seems kind of rote or basic, and it was also really hard for them to do themselves, so they needed to work with a partner like TransUnion to do that.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point, Ryan. I mean, it's not just capturing additional financial benefit, it's actually you're avoiding a negative outcome that you yourself could be driving by delivering the wrong message and like ruining a perfectly good relationship that you had with a customer. And not to mention all of the work that probably went into a campaign that might have been great, but if you serve it to the wrong person, it's useless. So I love that example.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank you, Ryan, Sam, and Ben for joining us today. It's been a really interesting viewpoint into something that most people don't really realize is happening behind the scenes in our daily lives, right? And just as we close, I'm wondering if you have some reflections to share with our listeners about either the process or journey that you took, or just how you think of these kinds of approaches to innovation. I'll start with you, Ben, and what you learned from working with TransUnion and the team.
It's a really good question. I mean, we've covered a lot of it on the discussion already. I would just say that, you know, I come back to your point, which is the technology is amazing. Like the amount of things that you can do now, like I have almost never seen an idea that isn't technologically possible. And having the right partner is, of course, important. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to the people. Like, are you focused on your customers? Can you collaborate? Can you move fast in that service? And I think ultimately that's to me the difference maker in the approach and a lot of the topics that I've already covered.
Right, definitely. How about you, Sam? What would you share? What were your reflections from the experience?
I think one thing I've been reflecting on is, you know, we went into the process with one problem that we understood pretty well and thought we really could solve with AWS around the movement of data. But there's something else about not just listening to what your customers are telling you, but sort of watching how like they vote with their feet, right? So if customers are choosing AWS, what is it that we can be doing there that will make them have the benefit that they're already going there for, right? And so I think there's a lot of, there are problems that like data engineers are having that they're trying to solve by replatforming on AWS. And so what does it mean for us to allow them to use our services in that way? So I think it encouraged my takeaway in summary, right, is it's not just what people say, but it's also like they vote with their feet, right? And so that actually is something to listen to as well.
Absolutely. And Ryan, final words for you.
Yeah, thanks. The thing that occurred to me that I wanted to share was to Ben's point, like the technology is so capable of solving so many things. And you're right, like part of it is the collaboration and the people. But I think what we've encountered by, like, with some of the innovation that we're doing in the cloud, which is really like forward looking, like we're stress testing and breaking things. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. AWS sells some new stuff for us and we're the first ones to use it and we break it and we file lots of tickets and that makes us a good partner, you know. But one thing that we've encountered internally is like, we see how the cloud can enable so many different things for us in new and innovative ways for our business. And part of the people challenge, from my perspective, is demonstrating to people who have never had that experience, who are not as savvy or familiar with all the things which are made possible by AWS and other cloud providers, that if we say, hey, we built an app that, you know, resolves identity without ever seeing the customer data, they're like, no, you didn't. That's not possible. Like, well, hold on. Like, we're going to show you, like, here's how it works. And it, literally, like, so long, some of the reviews that we had internally, like, scrutinizing, not understanding, and all of that. And it's not a dig on TransUnion people. I think we see that a lot with our customers, too, where it's like, no, you know, AWS can attest to how this works, or, you know, so on. And sometimes it's almost like really seeing the art of the possible requires some education almost, or reassuring people that, like, hey, this stuff is really cool and you can trust it and, like, it helps us go faster, that there is, like, a cultural element to it too, not just like the teamwork, but also like how can we bring the company culture along with us by demonstrating some of the value that we're able to do together with y'all.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Ryan, Sam, and Ben. It's been great to chat with you today.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.